Good morning. Is this thing on? Grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, would it be multiplied to us? Would it be multiplied? Well, I do want to bring the greetings of a little church up in Arburg, Manitoba, to you. And I just want to take this time to also to express our thankfulness and appreciation for allowing Brother Aiden to minister and spend so much time up with us, and we're deeply grateful. I'm not sure if it's now 5 years or what it is, but and I tremble to think where we would be without all that, without God's people praying and ministering. So just thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Appreciate all that was shared this morning. I feel like lots of what I'd like to share has already been shared. Why don't we take our hymn books and turn to 281. Sorry, it is 381. 381, it has been our custom to sing a song. Why don't we sing the song? And for the sake of time, let's sing verse 1, 3, and 4. 381.
I'm pressing on the upward way.
Though some may dwell at that place where sin, where doubts and fears, where self, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. The title this morning is a negative one, and I apologize for that. Sorry, I hadn't quite made up my mind. The snare of reaction. And there's many kinds of reaction, and I will say right from the start that I failed. And the church up there has sent a very needy person this way, but it is my desire to live above, to reach for those higher ground day by day. But there's many forms of reaction, and today I will define it. I'll somewhat pick and choose my definition from the dictionary, but I will define it as, here are just two definitions: to change in response to a stimulus, to move or tend in a reverse direction. In a direction that's backwards, a direction that is not like it was supposed to be. I will define it that way. And when I say reaction this morning, I will take it in the sense of fleshly reactions. And I'm not talking about responses to various situations, but a fleshly reaction, that which wants to well up, the flesh that wants to well up when there's something that happens in our lives, something negative or something someone does. This flesh that wants to rise up and wants to react, wants to do something. That's my definition this morning. In science, we have many forms of reaction. When you put two substances together, it creates an entirely new substance. You put two things together, something happens, and it's an entirely new. Others, you put two together, and it forms something different. Something that's similar to the original, but it has just a different form to it. Amanda, I'm not sure Philip is here. Actually, I forgot water, though. Just at least two cups of water. Thank you. Sorry about that. So one of the things and that I've marveled over, and you've probably all learned this in school. You take sodium metal, a soft metal that you can cut with a butter knife, I believe, and then you take chlorine gas. You put those two together. So the common way that they do it is you have this chlorine gas environment in a jar, and you put this sodium metal on the bottom, put a drop of water on there to start the reaction, and all sorts of things happen, and take that out. And here you have sodium. Sodium, this table salt that we use on our food. And now that's not how they make table salt, I'm sure, but that could be a way. And now you have this edible thing. If I were to take sodium metal, I would get sick, maybe die. If I were to take lots of chlorine gas, I'd probably also get sick, probably die. But somehow out of that, something edible was made. And you got a new product, and it actually changed its molecule structure. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. And we can also be that way. We can also change change. There's something that happens in our lives, and we can change into something very different. Oops, I should put this in here. A person who started out as someone soft and he can change into something so different. I probably did this backwards here. We'll see if this will still work, though. And at the end of his life, he can be this cold. He can be a hard person because he has reacted to something in his life, and it's something which does not please God, or someone who is maybe a hard person, and he's seen something. Actually, we'll get to that in a moment. But there's many kinds of reactions: moody to a certain situation, withdrawn, frustration, anger, agitation. Sometimes it is, I want nothing to do with that person. And bitterness, unforgiveness, criticism, self-pity, maybe gleeful. I think I did this a bit backwards here. We'll see if it'll still work. But there's something that happens, and it makes a tremendous impression on us, and we decide. And we can decide, I will never do that. Subconsciously, maybe even, or consciously, I will never do that. And it's that result, the result of that is something that changes the very course of our life, can change the very course of the life. And this morning, I would like to break it up a little bit, or look at it a certain way. I would like to take action. So today, if we were to, is there another eraser here? Is this? Here's one. Today, we would like to just take that out, and let's say that this is the problem. Action. And let's change it to Christ-like action instead of reaction. Something that's a part of our lives. And we choose, this is how I will respond. This is how we will respond and when this situation comes up. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, this is how I want to respond. Lord, I choose to respond this way. And when this thing wells up in my heart, I choose to have that Christ-like response, the Christ-like action instead of this reaction. I found it interesting that and I struggle a little bit to know how to say this. So many videos these days, and YouTube, and I don't at all spend time on those, but I have in the past, and to my shame. The titles are so-and-so reacts to this. Sometimes it is so-and-so destroys this or so-and-so. But that's what catches people. It's that little bit something of anger, something that'll get this punch, something that'll work people against each other, something that'll reveal the flesh, something that'll reveal self. You can even take various things from news, and I don't follow that either. But I've marveled how how sometimes, okay, there's this event that has happened and or something, somebody did something, and they call somebody else up, hey, what's your reaction to this? They want a reaction. They want something fleshly. They want a fleshly display. And but we don't want to be that way. We want the Spirit of our Lord, Jesus Christ, to dwell in us, through us. We don't want to be that way. He has bought us with a price. But the thing still comes. The flesh is still with us. Though we have died with Christ, but there's this daily dying. In the end, I can find daily things in my own life where maybe one of the children did something and there's something that welled up. Maybe a certain friend, good friendly face, but there's something there. Why? Why? And I've also marveled how it can sometimes, in a rebellious youth, it can be against their very own father, parents, mother. That one, where we can react the most against. So someone's wrongdoing, add a little bit of self-righteousness and self-reaction. Mix that little bit of self. And so just to restate what I said before, in very simple terms, we would like to define reaction as responding with fleshly impulses rather than the prompting of the Spirit of Christ. Sometimes we can even react against someone else's reaction. Maybe it's a father, maybe it's some authority in our lives. Something happened, and maybe it was frustration there. I'll never be like that. What all doesn't come up? And it's so subtle. And I found that I've never, sometimes not even caught it until quite a bit later. And then this happens in my heart. Maybe they didn't see it, but this against that thing. Sometimes it might have been just a little thing. Maybe somebody said something. Maybe it was a why does he continually harp on that? Well, I thought my heart was clean. But I have something else in my mind, and then in my heart there's a little something against the brother who has something. It's a bit wider. He for sure didn't notice this one. I'll just put that out into an equation here if we'd like. We could probably even put... let's leave it that way. Let's add a little bit of self here. So if there's someone else, you did a certain action that was taking, certain event or things that happened, we add a little bit of self-righteousness maybe. and then we had a reaction. And I will just take this negative action here. And now, how about we add, we could add many things, but how about we just say the Spirit of Christ, a Christ-like spirit. Oops, it's not quite what we want here. A Christ-like spirit. And we've chosen our response beforehand because this is how Christ lived. And we have a... Sorry, it's a little harder to write up here when there it is at home. It's a bit of a unique phenomenon. And action. And we can have, there's many things we could look at that would be results, something that would be characteristics of, a characteristic of a life lived in reaction. And for one, that's one of my failures, and probably still is, and Lord help me, and Lord work that out of me, do His perfect work of molding. One could be inconsistency. There's certain trigger points, and that's where all of these reactions are. And then miss all the so many other things that we should be focusing on and dwelling on. Maybe another result could be blindness, and this one I've experienced so well. Blindness. And it's a bondage, but people don't even know. I didn't even know I was. And could say that this is what controls them, and I'm not going to let it happen to me. Let all that go. I don't mess with it. Sad to say, this, that, and it actually ends up controlling me. Trying to stay away from this, that, and it because they are not able to rationally evaluate this, that, and it. And they say, I can't do this because back there those people did that. So those people's that ends up controlling my decisions. And self-defense rises up. Self-righteousness wants to increase. Another thing is there's an inability. I have found, I think, an inability to benefit from input from others. And so we do not get the help that God is trying to give us, me, from a brother. We can think of hypocrisy. And all we can see is that we're not like them and they are wrong, and so I'm better, right? And we can end up with the very same fruits of the people we're trying to not be like. There's another way, and that's what I've called the Christ-like way. And this one has a more special liquid in this one. And we can put all those same things into this one. We can shake him up. And it's all the same, through and through. Open it up. There's no reaction. There's no... And this situation arises and it's shooken up and this thing is in there and it's... But it's the same. It's the same as what was before. Christ-like action. And in some senses, as I mentioned before, we cannot altogether avoid reaction because self is with us or the flesh is with us. But we can learn. Would God, at the feet of Jesus, that He could work these things out of us in full surrender, would He work them out of us? And I'd like to think of a couple, just go over a couple, couple situations in certain people's lives in Scripture here. I'm not sure if you want to follow along or not, but Joseph is the one in Genesis 37, and I'll just pick and choose things out of there. Joseph. So his brothers, and there was a bit of favoritism here, and his father, he really loved Joseph, and the rest of the brothers, what does it say? They hated him. That was their reaction. They hated him. And Joseph shared this dream, and his brothers go, "Are you going to rule over us? Will you?" He could have withdrawn. He could have felt self-pity. He could have, but it seemed like it doesn't faze him. And his brethren went to feed the flock, their father's flock in Shechem. And his father sends him out there, and he's seeking his brethren. Here comes the dreamer. I want to kill him, but put him into this pit. What would your response be? What would mine? These Ishmaelites come along, and now they sold him. What would your response be? What would mine? And now on this camel, perhaps in traveling out towards Egypt, I probably would have felt self-pity. Being disowned by my very own brethren. And then in Egypt, he's sold as a slave. What would my response be to that? And then trying to do good or earnestly attempting and having the fear of God. And then now here this woman falsely accuses me of the very thing that I chose to resist. What would my response have been? Bitterness? And we could go through a couple more, but after his father died, Jacob, maybe it was even before, and the brethren are, well, what will he do now after our father has died? What? And they come to Joseph, and he wept with them. He wept. What would my response be? What would my reaction be? Would I have Christ-like action? With my flesh, now we're over them, I'll show them something. I'd like to go to the end of Matthew. And I will just skip and jump through the rest, starting somewhere around chapter 28, and you probably know all the accounts there. One's very own disciple, Jesus' very own disciple, went and struck up a deal for his master. And for just 30 pieces of silver, and then comes and kisses him, betrays him. What would my response have been? My reaction? Would it have been in a Christ-like one? That which held no ill towards Judas? That which, knowing all this, still washed his feet? Still, what would my reaction have been, or reaction? and now being questioned, and his disciples have all fled, and the background. Do you know this man? I do not know the man. However, you know who this man is. Your speech, I do not know the man. Your speech betrays thee. And swearing, cursing, I do not know the man. Oh, dear. What would have happened in my heart? It's the very ones who Christ lived with, one of the very ones, betrayed him. And just think of it later. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. Now be a minister in the flock. And he was repentant, but why can't? Oh, that I could be just more like Christ. Oh, that I could have that heart. And we go a little farther, and now imagine with me the soldiers that took Christ out. They put a purple robe on him and this crown of thorns, and they're kneeling and, "Hail, thou King of the Jews!" We've got someone important here. This is not the common criminal. This is King of the Jews. And they mocked him. What would happen in my heart? What happens when someone mocks me now? Would that probably be the same thing that would happen? I'd like to just also think of Jesus now on the cross, and he's put in with the thieves, the murderers, I'm not sure what all, but the two robbers he's put on each side. That's the crowd, that's who you're like, that's whom you are a part of. That's sort of the message I think it was supposed to send. What would happen in my heart? And the shame of the nakedness. Chief priests come walking along, scribes and elders. He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. And he's quiet. And they can't get that reaction out of him. And it's shaken this way and that way, but they can't get that reaction out of him. Just the Christ, that meek, humble spirit. And one of the thieves, now one of the very ones who's suffering in agony there, he also mocked him. What was his response there? And then, after all this has happened, here says one, "Remember me." And as quick as that, there's Christ ministering. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." So in closing, when these situations and things come up in our lives, as they inevitably will, what will my response be? Will it be a fleshly reaction, or will it be a Christ-like action? Will I consecrate myself to the one now, or will I wait until that moment of decision when I can't put it off any longer? And I would like to also just say this, especially to the youth, young men. There's lots of children up here, and they're watching you. They're watching you. What will you show them? Will they be inspired to live a Christ-like life? Will they see it as that's a powerful life? Or will they see that flesh is very much alive? Will they be inspired to live a holy, Christ-centered life? Just like to leave that with us. Why don't we rise and pray? Oh, Father, I'm up here, the least of the saints, Father, and one who has probably failed more than anyone in this room. Lord, I'm a very needy person, but Father, would you allow just a little light on my candle? Lord, I would consecrate myself to thee and fully dedicate my life and soul. But Father, would you allow just a little flame on that candle, Father, that others may catch a flame from you, not from me. And be drawn to you and not to me, and that others would be see that within serving thee, Father, there is great joy, peace. Oh, Father, would you bless these dear brethren here? Father, I thank you for the encouragement that a number of them have been in my life, oh, Father. I thank you. Lord, it has not always gone very well, Father, and that was my fault. But Lord, I thank you, Father, that thou hast mercy on a needy soul. Father, bless the congregation here. Lord, I pray that the testimony of Christ will continually be raised up, Father. Oh, Father, bless them. We ask for thy blessing and thy spirit to be upon us the rest of this day. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Be seated.